You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas, here's your host, 6'1" former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. It is time now. We're going to take a look back at some of the things that we learned in week one of the NFL season. We've got a ton of NFL news and notes that we're going to dive into with our next segment. And it is always a true pleasure to have joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, a gentleman that always takes our show to another level, the super agent, Lee Steinberg. Good evening, Lee.
Good evening, Alyssa.
It's good to have you back. And of course, you're out there on the West Coast. So let's zero in on the NFC rivalry as it was renewed on Monday night. The Rams, of course, are back in Cali for the first time since 1994. What are your immediate takeaways from the game on Monday night and that dominant win by the 49ers?
What a horror show for the Rams. We waited 22 years for them to come back.
Right.
And this was like a Broadway show that had been advertised week after week, and there was such anticipation. They'd been on Hard Knocks. There had been months of stories about their return. There was so much excitement in Southern California, and it was like a Broadway show that opened and flopped. They totally bottled up the running game with Todd Gurley, who might be one of the three, four best running backs in the league, went nowhere. The passing game went nowhere. The 49er defense was stifling, and the Ram defense, which was advertised as a stifling defense, couldn't bottle up Blaine Gabbert. So Chip Kelly took a 49er team mostly maligned as being one of the three, four worst teams in the NFL and made them look like Super Bowl champions. So it was an inauspicious debut for the return of the prodigal Rams.
Yes, a complete shutout, 28, I should say, to nothing, a forgettable night. So let's pinpoint this. I mean, is it the system or is it the Rams players? And, you know, I'm thinking about the Rams fans. You're one of them. I mean, just the anticipation coming into that city. How concerned should they be?
They're going to get a bit of a honeymoon because it's been 22 years since there's been football in Southern California. I was chairman of Save the Rams back in 1994, and we fought very hard to keep them. And for what's supposed to be a blasé city, there's been tremendous excitement. They sold all the season tickets in about 3 or 4 days, and they've been blitzing all the airwaves. Their Ram reports on all the local radio stations, huge coverage in the local newspapers. So I think they get this first season, but and all the myths about LA sports fans are not true. The Dodgers, the Angels, the two hockey teams, the two basketball teams all sell out or are heavily attended at UCLA, SC. But to make it in L.A. ultimately, you have to have stars. And the biggest star that the public knows is the new quarterback, Jared Goff, and he didn't even suit up. So they'll get a bit of a honeymoon, but this was dreadful in terms of the way to start, because it's a nationally televised game, and I don't think they're as bad as the way they played, and I think they'll end up fixing it, and I don't think the 49ers are as good as the way they played, and the reality is that the two teams in that conference, Seattle and Arizona, are really the two powerhouses.
Super agent and CEO of Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, Lee Steinberg, is back with us at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. So you just mentioned the high profile, the quarterback, Jared Goff. Of course, he did not suit up, did not play on Monday night. Why are the Rams taking this slow, this cautious approach with him, and do you agree with it?
The most difficult transition to make for any rookie is being the quarterback. Jared Goff, just like Paxton Lynch, Marcus Mariota before them, played in what most colleges play, which is a spread offense, and what they call an air raid in Cal's offense is what Jared Goff played. So the quarterback stands back. He's not under center. The concept of the huddle is not what it is in the pros. They're not calling plays the same way. They don't have to do a 3-5-7 step drop. So they have to adjust all that. The playbook's more complex. The players are much more smothering, so the degree of separation with the wide receivers is not as great. They're throwing into much tinier slots. So it's all confusing, and the pace of the game is much quicker. So as they watched Jared Goff, it became clear that he didn't quite have it all. Carson Wentz progressed much quicker.
Right.
And he played beautifully in his first game. He looks like he's already a pro. Mm-hmm. But Goff didn't, and Paxton Lynch, who we represented, still was in a learning process. The real key for Jared Goff or Paxton is having a 10- to 15-year career. So they're going to be just fine. So rather than throw them in there where they make many mistakes and end up having their confidence crushed, there's nothing wrong with moving them a little more slowly into the mix. They're going to have to learn on the field anyway, but had Goff been thrown into that situation where the 49er defense was smothering, there's no running game, and the wide receivers are not getting open deep, he'd have fared much worse, and it easily could have crushed his confidence and the confidence that the team had in him.
Well, Lee, it sounds like what you're saying is that you trust this approach, but kind of speak to, you know, the Ram fans out there. I mean, how long will it take for Jared Goff to adjust and get acclimated to, as you're talking about, the speed, the pace of the NFL? Because it is a lot different than college.
Well, it's not as good a learning experience as being in there, because the only thing that really accelerates the pace is playing and watching the field. But look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Carson Palmer. These are both players who didn't hit the field immediately. Aaron Rodgers was learned behind Brett Favre for a couple of years. And there's learning going on by standing on the sidelines, by going through practices, by sitting there and watching what Case Keenum is doing. So were I the Rams, I wouldn't throw Jared Goff in there yet. But I expect at some point this season he'll play. And, you know, if they have the perception that they're not going anywhere anyway, then I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Okay, the Rams, of course, host in their home opener against Seattle on Sunday with a 3:05 kickoff on Fox. Just one more quick hit on the Rams. I mean, so what are your expectations, your realistic expectations for the 2016 season? And is there any pressure on them, or should there be?
I mean, you know, people thought they might be 7-9. I mean, after watching, they're more like a 5-11, 6-10 team. And again, you raise the right word, expectations, because people respond to the level of expectations. So if you think the Rams are going to be an 8-8 team and they go 4-12, then that's one thing. But now they go up against Seattle. Their defense is much more smothering than is the 49ers. They have a defensive secondary, which is second to none. And you know, if they somehow shut off the running game, I think it's a long afternoon for the Rams.
Super agent Lee Steinberg with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. The NFL news and notes and conversation will continue.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
We are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Before we continue our conversation with Super Agent Lee Steinberg, you know what? I'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports and check out our amazing podcast page. The guys here, they take great care of us. Go to podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. You can go and listen to our entire interview with Lee Steinberg. We're recapping Monday Night Football at this point. So give us your thoughts. Weigh in on Colin Kaepernick and his silent protest of the national anthem. And, you know, not only your reaction, but do you expect, you know, for more players to join this national anthem demonstration?
Well, I think they may. My view of it is that I've always encouraged players to be politically active. I think there are a lot of ways that they can do it. I think it's healthy for them. They have a free speech right. Plus, I think it involves them more in the community. They have a lot of ways they can do it. They can write articles. They can give money politically. They can be at a rally. They can give a speech. They can back an organization. I've never been a big fan of doing it at a stadium because I think that you have fans come from different racial, ethnic, religious, political backgrounds to escape the problems of everyday life. And if it's okay for someone to use that forum to protest racial injustice, is it equally okay for a born-again Christian player who thinks that abortion is murder to protest because he thinks a country that allows that is a country condoning murder, and then he holds up a picture of dead fetuses, and now someone who thinks that not banning AK-47s is condoning murder, and he holds up pictures of dead kids at Sandy Hook, and all of a sudden you have a stadium that becomes more like you know, a campus free speech area, and it's a slippery slope. So I think it's entirely fine for Colin Kaepernick to express his point of view, but it's a little ironic if the NFL and its teams consider it fine and free speech to use a stadium, but the NFL is now considering fining players whose shoes convey solidarity with the victims or responders of the 9/11 attacks. It's a slippery slope.
Only a few more minutes with Super Agent Lee Steinberg tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I wish we had more time to talk about and discuss that particular subject, but we're going to move ahead here. As we head into week two of the NFL season, how would you just rate overall some of the rookie quarterbacks?
I'd give Carson Wentz an A. He looks like he's game ready. He looks like a veteran.
Yeah.
And he looks just fine. I think that the Cowboy quarterback, it's a little funny to me because if you follow the preseason hype, I don't think that, I think he's going to the Hall of Fame without ever having a career. In other words, they're so excited about him.
But Dax did have a great preseason, Lee.
I know, but you want to consider the fact that the Cowboys probably have the best offensive line in the league. Alyssa, you could complete a pass behind that offensive line.
You think so?
I think you could go to sleep,
okay,
sleep for 8 hours, wake up, and they'd still be holding the defensive line out. So, and you've got a gifted running back. So, anyway, I think he's playing fine, and I think any quarterback will play fine behind that line. I think that, and that's fundamentally it. Because you've got Paxton Lynch is sitting and Jared Goff sitting, and Carson Wentz after one game looks like the real deal. And we knew he was going to be the real deal. It's just that he played at North Dakota State. But, I mean, he looks ready to roll. He didn't look like a rookie at all. And so I think you've got... Oh, and I don't think if you fall down the draft and you look at, I don't think Christian Hackenberg will be playing real soon, or Connor Cook, or so I think the next ones you look for, you know, will be Jared Goff and Simeon. I think, you know, may hold off Paxton for a while. So it may just be Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott until Romo returns.
Okay, Lee Steinberg with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And you had just mentioned your client in Paxton Lynch, the Denver Broncos rookie quarterback. What are your expectations for him in this season? And is he further along than anticipated?
Much further along. And had they started him, he'd have done just fine. He'd have had some of the rookie growing pains. But, again, as long as you don't turn the ball over, the defense is such a killer on Denver, and they got a great running game, he'd have been just fine. Rookie growing pains, but just fine. And Trevor Siemian appears to be a very competent quarterback, looked smooth out there. So I think it just depends on... If they keep winning with Trevor Siemian, you don't change your quarterback. So if Paxton doesn't play very much this year, then we're relaxed about it.
Uh-huh.
He's not relaxed. He's very competitive. But,
sure.
But again, I take the long view on this. I've, you know, represented over 100 quarterbacks, and, you know, he's young, and he'll have a long career.
What has it been like teaming up with Paxton Lynch and working with him? And also tell us the story about how did you land him as a client?
His father called our office, which would amaze most people.
Really?
But his values are so good. He's so grounded. It's a faith-based family, and they are a family.
Wonderful.
And family's really important. He's close to his mom, Stacy, and his dad, David, and his brother, Evan. And then friendships. He's got this group of Looney Tunes that he roomed with at Memphis that are thick as thieves.
Uh-huh.
And so it's faith, family, friends, and then, of course, football. And he's very funny and loose and relaxed and charitable. You know, he went ahead and gave part of his Nike contract to back to outfit his high school and the Methodist Children's Home. And so he's a real pleasure and a real upper. And, you know, they're going to be very happy with him for a lot of years. And so it's great working with rookies, Alyssa. They have so much idealism, so much zest. They're not cynical or jaundiced like old veterans. You know, they haven't been through a ton of, it's all fresh to them. They're excited.
They energize you, yes.
Yes, they are. They're just, it's like a revitalization, resurgence. you know, it's part of what makes this it keeps you young, because and it's all new and exciting and, you know, happy to be alive.
He is simply one of the best. Super Agent Lee Steinberg back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We look forward to another conversation and, of course, seeing you here in Houston for the Super Bowl in 2017. Thanks, Lee.
And we're going to have a party. Ooh. That will be the party of parties.
All right. I'll be there.
There you go.
There you go. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, the college football excitement continues to build, and we have always got you covered right here at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Already, several big matchups we have featured tonight, but right now, it is time. We are headed to Norman, Oklahoma. We're going to visit with the senior writer from OU Insider and host of Total Sports on 1400 KREF, and that is James Hale. Good evening, James. What a weekend we've got ahead of us.
We certainly do. The only bad thing is your pretty face is not going to be in Norman, and that is the only bad thing about it. I thought you might be sneaking in, and that would have just put the icing, the cherry on top of the cake.
Oh, I would so love to be there, but I want you to give all of us and myself a sense of what is the atmosphere like up there. Just kind of give us a sense of how excited everyone is.
It's going to be electric because Ohio State, they're going to bring in their full contingent, of tickets. They bought them all, and they're trying to buy up as many as they can. They have rented out one of the basketball practice gyms. You're going to get about 800 people in there to have a Buckeye bash, so to speak. University of Oklahoma, a spirit group, is having a Boomer bash somewhere else on campus.
Wow.
So, you've got all these factions wanting to celebrate and have a bash, and you've got all this going on, and you've got all these Buckeyes rolling in, so Campus Corner is going to be going crazy. And Main Street, they've actually redone Main Street here, much like, that they've done in Oklahoma City. And it's really been great what they've done here. So there's other places to go than just Campus Corner, and Buckeye fans will certainly find that out here pretty quick. But it's pretty cool what's going on. This is the biggest game since Notre Dame rolled in.
Right.
Notre Dame rolled in the middle of the season, in the conference season, and I thought that was a little weird how that game went. And Oklahoma lost that game with Landry Jones at quarterback, and hopefully Oklahoma will have better results this time. This game is where it should be in the non-conference schedule, and it makes it really, really special.
The senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, he is back with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we get set for the Sooners and the Buckeyes. So quantify for us, how important is it for Oklahoma? They have got to take care of business and come away with a W.
Well, if they want to contend for the national title, that's it. They've got to win. Just win by 1 point. It doesn't matter. Just win, baby, as Al Davis used to say. It doesn't matter. Just win.
Right.
And that's what you got to do. You've already stubbed your toe once. You laid an egg in the first game. So to get back on track, you've got to beat a major power like Ohio State. If you lose it, then you've got to reassess your goals and realize that the best thing you can do at that point is to win the conference championship. And then, due to that championship, you go to a major bowl and, you hit the recruiting trail real hard. And that's the way you have to go about it. But Oklahoma believes they're a Final Four team, that they're good enough to be there. They didn't show it in game one. And we didn't learn, I don't know what we learned in game two, except they have real talented players that play all over the place. And they've got a bunch of good young players they can throw out on the field. Are they good enough to play against Ohio State? Well, we'll see what kind of confidence. I know athletically they are, but do the coaches trust them enough? And I know Ohio State's going through the same thing. When you return only six starters, you've got a bunch of young guys stepping into the starting lineup there. But Urban Meyer does this all the time. They recruit to do this. And he's used to throwing a bunch of young guys out there. And it's not that Bob's not at Oklahoma, Bob Stoops. It's just that I think OU would rather have an experienced guy out there. But the young guys like Michael Jones and, is pushing Baxter and he's pushing Basquain. And, Basquain continues to have, he's only a sophomore, he's a walk-on, but he continues to have great practices at OU. And A.D. Miller continues to push at receiver. He's a sophomore. And, so you've still got young players that are, making their way on the field, but it's the atmosphere around here is electric. And people have been talking about this game for 2 years, and it's finally here, and everybody thinks both teams are pretty good, so we'll find out if they are.
James, after that disappointing loss here in Houston for the Sooners, what were some of the adjustments that were immediately made in game two?
Well, to just get better offensively and run the offense. They didn't run the offense. But the major adjustments is to be smarter. The personal foul penalties, the holding penalties, those things killed OU in that game. The turnovers killed OU. you in that game. Oh, you made so many mistakes in that game. Playing a good quality football team, you're never going to beat them if you make that many mistakes. Houston's too good. You've got to play good football. You can't have personal foul penalties to keep drives alive. Three times Oklahoma's defense had stopped Houston. They committed a penalty, kept drives alive. Houston scored on every single one of those drives. So that right there in the nutshell is why Oklahoma lost the game. You know, it's you can't give up those plays. If you get punts instead, then all of a sudden it's a different deal. So Oklahoma played a lot smarter against ULM. They cut those penalties out. They didn't make mistakes. Their defense finally got a turnover. They still haven't created a PBU. They've created one PBU, and they still don't have an interception in the secondary. I don't know if they came out of that second game settled at the right corner spot. I still think three guys are battling for that there. And, of course, they came out with a couple of injuries. Marquise Overton is out. He's their third nose tackle, but he's good enough to start, and that's a quality loss right there. And we found out that a couple of guys, Devonta Lampkin and Dwayne Orso Backus, have been suspended for 6 games for something that happened back when OU played Clemson in the bowl game. So we're finding out the roster is getting a little bit thinner, but you still have your main players involved, and everybody is expected to be healthy and ready to go.
The senior writer with OU Insider, James Hale, is with us, back with us, I should say, at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we get set for the Sooners and the Buckeyes. How do you think Oklahoma's offense is going to respond to this dominant Ohio State defense?
Well, Baker Mayfield does what I think he's going to do. I think they'll run their offense, and you'll get a chance to see just how good this offense can be. I mean, Mark Andrews seems to be a touchdown waiting to happen, and they're always long-distance touchdowns, 30 yards or longer, and he's really been a weapon for Oklahoma. Baker hit 12 receivers in the second game. I think he hit 6 in the first game. That shows you he came in with a different disposition in the second game. And sure, they were playing ULM, so you can say, well, they just didn't cover as well. Well, this is the way that they've got to run the offense. He worked all year on being a quarterback that was a distributor, not a guy that was just always going to be a playmaker. He thought if he could become that, then he still had his playmaking ability, and boy, he'd be really good, and I agree with him. And I think we're beginning to see, or we began to see, against ULM, that kind of quarterback. And he's got weapons. Joe Mixon's a lot better player than he was last year, and he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Samaje Perine is back. I've told you about Andrews. D.D. Westbrook has stepped up and become the number one receiver, and he looks good out there. And A.D. Miller's beginning to do some things. So here you've got a defense that hasn't showed us anything in the first 2 games. And I know that they've got more in their package than they're showing. And we'll start seeing some blitzes. And I know they're so good at Ohio State that sometimes they feel like they can just line up and beat you. Oklahoma does too at times. You know, but I think in this game, teams are going to throw the kitchen sink at each other. So Oklahoma will see some things from Ohio State that Ohio State hasn't shown yet. They've done a good job. Where Oklahoma's been forced to show a lot of things, Ohio State is not. So Oklahoma's got to be aware of that. If they can handle the stunts they're going to get from Ohio State, that would set up Baker to make plays. And then Baker's awful dangerous when he beats your initial response and he reads it or he beats it. Uh-huh. Then great things can happen for Oklahoma.
Hey, give us a hit on the coaching matchup. I mean, you're talking about two of college's best in Bob Stoops and Urban Meyer.
Similar guys, too. You know, they're from Ohio. They've met once before. Florida won in the national championship game. Urban's got his own offense that he likes to run, which features kind of that H-back guy and that running quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that's the way he likes his offenses, the lineups. If you're going to be his coordinator, you're going to have to understand he's going to be in your room and you're going to implement what he wants to do. You know, I don't think Bob sits in on defensive meetings as much as he used to, but he can. And since his younger brother, his little brother, who happens to be bigger than him, is the defensive coordinator,
yeah,
you know, he can go in there and they can argue it out and hash it out. But I think really they believe that they can really help each other, because if you ask Mike, Bob's the smartest defensive guy outside of his own dad that he's ever known, and that's the same thing Bob says about Mike. And of course they always throw Brent Venables in there because Brent's like a little brother, who's now the defensive coordinator at Clemson.
Sure.
And was coaching at Oklahoma. So I think these are two of the best coaches in college football. They're going to go down in history. It's two of the best of all time. They've won national titles. They've built powerful programs. They've maintained powerful programs. Both coaches like to use a little razzle-dazzle sometimes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So let's see which razzle-dazzle works. And, you know, Bob usually goes that way. He says, well, there's work, mine didn't, or mine did, and theirs didn't. So I know they've got something up their sleeve. I just don't know what it is.
Oh, it's going to be a compelling matchup with the Buckeyes and the Sooners on Saturday. Always a pleasure to catch up with a senior writer from OU Insider. Check him out, OUinsider.com. The one and only, the great James Hale. Thank you, James.
Hey, thanks. And, hey, I'll hold this ticket for you in case you change your mind, okay?
I'll let you know. Much more coming your way right here in hour number two at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. In our final segment tonight, as promised, it is time for a book review. A big season, obviously, for the Toronto Blue Jays as they are in their 40th season of professional baseball. Currently, they are third in the AL East and looking for a strong finish in the month of September. But I tell you what, the Blue Jays, they have really struggled, and they are in the middle of a 7-game West Coast road trip. We are delighted to have back with us veteran sports writer Shai Dubey-Day as he explores the defining elements of the Blue Jays' identity. We're going to talk about his new book and also just kind of get the pulse on what needs to happen to get them moving forward so they can have a strong finish. Shai was on our show earlier this summer. It's great to have you back with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so as I said in the open, the Toronto Blue Jays are third in the American League East right now, but struggling. Pinpoint why they are in this funk, because this is devastating in terms of trying to finish strong.
Sure. I mean, they've had a bunch of issues crop up. Their starting pitching has regressed to some degree. They've had a couple blips in the bullpen, but the primary issue is that they're just not hitting very much. And, you know, they're a team that's built to deliver big blows. A team built around the home run. They haven't gotten very many of those. They haven't been able to sustain any offensive pressure. And, you know, when they're not hitting, that takes away from the rest of their team. It makes life obviously harder for the pitching staff. And a bunch of things have sort of really come together in a negative way at really the worst time. So the Blue Jays are trying to pull out of it. You know, they've got Josh Donaldson, who's been hurting. They've got some other players who are hurting. And, you know, they're just not themselves right now. And obviously, this is an inopportune time to be going through some struggles.
Sportsnet baseball columnist Shai Dubey-Day is with us tonight at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He also is the author of Toronto Blue Jays, The Big 50. It was a book that we had featured earlier in our program this summer, and it's great to have him back with us. So, I mean, in terms of talking about the Blue Jays, I mean, give us a sense of how the team is handling this. I mean, do they still hold the belief that they can turn this thing around in enough time?
Sure. I mean, they should be able to. I mean, they're still in complete control of their own destiny. They're going to play the teams that are both behind and in front of them right now. And ultimately, they have the talent and the ability to play much better baseball. Now, will they be able to pull out of their funk in time? That's the million-dollar question. But in theory, on paper, they should certainly be able to handle it. They've got an opportunity on this West Coast swing against the Angels and the Mariners to really pile up some wins against an Angels team that's not very good. And then to, you know, separate themselves from the Seattle Mariners, one of the teams that's chasing them. And then they have the stretch to close out the season against the New York Yankees, another club that's chasing them. And then, the Baltimore Orioles and the Boston Red Sox, who they're in the mix with right now for a postseason spot. So, I mean, they're clearly in control of their own destiny, but they need a couple of their bats to get going. And it's difficult when, you know, your whole lineup gets essentially cold at the same time. That's what they're facing. But they have several players who can carry them for a stretch, and they need one or two of them to get going.
You know, it is interesting, Shai. The Blue Jays entered the 2016 season with higher expectations after they captured the AL East title and made the playoffs for the first time in 22 seasons. I mean, it really was a breakthrough year, and the expectations are a lot higher. So, I mean, how surprised are you that this is happening at this time of the year? You can't have this going on in the month of September.
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising because, you know, they entered the month and it looked like they were in great shape. They were,
right.
I don't want to say cruising, but it was smooth sailing and everything was okay. But, you know, these things can be very fragile. There was never very much separation. The division has been tight all year long, and I expect it to be that way down to the end. And look, there are ebbs and flows to everybody's season. And, you know, the Blue Jays haven't had that extended run of success this year like they did last year. I mean, you have two 11-game win streaks and you close the season 43-18. You know, that's a pretty smooth ride in the playoffs. It's been the polar opposite this year. And right now they're going to have to ride it out. So, I mean, I'm surprised that they've gone through the type of stretch that they've gone through, because really they're a better team, and they haven't had this sort of extended run of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is really testing their mettle, and we're going to find out whether they're legit or not.
Sportsnet baseball columnist Shai Dubedee is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. Another quick hit before we talk about your book. Some big changes have taken place since the last time, Shai, that we had you on the program. They hired a former Red Sox general manager. Talk to us about Ben Cherington and what's going to be his emphasis in the front office.
Well, Ben Cherington joins as the vice president of baseball operations. He's going to report to GM Ross Atkins, and he's going to work closely with player development director Gil Kim. And this, given the success Cherington had in the Red Sox on that side of the game in terms of player development, identifying talent, helping them break through into the majors successfully, you can't see it as anything but a positive for the Blue Jays. I mean, he's an exceptionally bright guy. A few other teams were in pursuit of him. He turned down the chance to go for the Minnesota Twins GM vacancy. So, I mean, this was clearly a place that he wanted to be, in a fit that's good for him. So, I mean, you know, beefing up the brain power for the organization is always a good thing. And, you know, he's one of the most coveted executives out there who wasn't employed by a club right now. So it's a pretty good hire for the Blue Jays.
Okay, only about 30 seconds. The title of Shai's new book is The Men and Moments That Made the Toronto Blue Jays the Big 50. Give us a hit and tell all the listeners across the nation where they can go and get a copy, Shai.
Well, it's available on Amazon. It's available at Indigo, it's a Canadian book retailer, several other stores as well. And it really looks at some of the history of the Blue Jays, with this being their 40th season, kind of a good time. And the Blue Jays have made a lot of new fans over the past couple of years. And there's some people who may not be familiar with some of the previous highlights in team history. So it's a chance for them to reacquaint themselves with that and relive some of the moments they may remember from more recent times.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's always a true pleasure when you come on the program. Of course, check them out. Sportsnet baseball columnist Shai Dubedee has been with us tonight right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Thank you so much, Shai.
Thanks for having me.
Special thank you to all of our amazing guests tonight. Be sure and join us each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time right here at the all-new SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.